Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal on The Fan. We'll get to those Knicks, obviously, later. So, you know, I hear it. It's a bit of an undercurrent. Nobody's screaming it necessarily. Not yet. Oh, this Yankees offense. Oh, my God. What about the Yankees offense? What's up with the Yankees? Honestly, I don't think much. I don't like getting shut out. Nobody likes watching that. I mean, last night for both teams was very quiet, just impotent offensive baseball. Yanks have been shut out five times this year. Here's the bottom line with the New York Yankees, though, Sal. As we go through, you know, the later part of the spring, early phase of the summer, late summer into early fall, the Yankees will be in a position to do what I think most of us thought they would be in a position to do when they went down to Tampa in February, and that is to win a World Series. The Yankees are going to win 90-something games, 94, 95. At that point, Jason Dominguez will be back in the lineup. At that point, Soto will be top two, top three in the MVP. At that point, Judge will be pursuing 40-something bombs when it's all said and done, and the Yankees' offense will be fine.
Yeah, I have major concerns about it. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, over the last couple of weeks here. And then again, to me, there's no greater example than just scoring 30 runs in consecutive games in Milwaukee, looking like the Bronx Bombers, looking like the Mashers. Now, you don't expect them to score 15 runs every game, but can you score a run? How have they gotten shut out five times already? They have Soto and Judge healthy in the same lineup, and they've gotten shut out five times? Too inconsistent. Now, you credit Baltimore. By the way, this is a barometer series here. You want to see the Yankees come out and score some runs here?
Sure.
I mean, losing a game is one thing. Getting blanked is another. You credit Baltimore pitching. They've been good. But that's my concern. We saw this even with Arizona. We saw it a little bit with Toronto, where the Yankee bats, BT, against some solid pitching,
yeah,
they could be shut down. And not to go all the way to the postseason already, as we're about to get into May, so you don't want to start talking about October, but the Yankees are going to be in October. So my concerns are that it's the same old stuff with the Yankees. While they'll be in the playoffs, can they actually hit in the playoffs? What they do generally in the regular season, be a bully offense, mash the bad teams and the bad pitching, and then the good pitching shuts them down. That's unacceptable.
And listen, that style of play has not worked in a long time. I don't like it. I do agree that the bully ball, so to speak, it's not sustainable. You know, cranking out 10, 11, 12 runs against bad mid-level staffs, it's fool's gold, because then you get to October, you face good pitchers, and, you know, it's, you know, 3-4 hits, 11-12 strikeouts. We've seen it time and time again, and you go nowhere with that. I agree. Listen, but here's why I think it's going to get better. There's three players, and it's not Soto, it's not Judge. There's three players to me that will largely determine how far this Yankees offense goes. One is Volpe, one is Gleyber Torres, and one is Verdugo. Now,
have you looked at Volpe's average in a while?
No, it's not good. It's not
good. The guy was hitting 500 to start the year, which nobody expected. He's not hitting 272. Dropping like a rock at the top of the order.
No, he has to look good. I'm not saying he's played well lately. He has not. Booted a ball last night as well.
Yep.
Now the league's making some adjustments to the adjustments that he made in the offseason, flatten out his swing, and he's going to have to figure this stuff out. Otherwise, he's just not going to be the player that we thought he would be, and I think that he will be the player that we think he will be. So I'm not incredibly worried about Volpe, although I don't like what I see, as Sal says. It's true. He's been cold for a while.
For the record, I'm not worried about him long-term either.
Yeah,
but, I mean, you saw a red-hot start where we're starting to talk about him being one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
All-star this, MVP that, and...
he's been chilly. Yeah. No, Sal, he's been absolutely chilly. But again, I think it comes down to three players. I think you know what you're going to get from Soto and Judge. I think that even though he's a little up and down, that Rizzo, I don't love him in a four hole, but I think Rizzo's fine. I think three parts, the Volpe aspect, the Verdugo aspect, which I think will absolutely flourish when it's all said and done. He wasn't there last night, paternity leave. And I really think the key here is Gleyber Torres. And that's probably not a good thing if you're not a big Gleyber Torres fan, as I'm not. But he's shown a little bit of sign of life lately. The Yankees, to me, are like every other team. If you fixate on the deficiencies, you can do a four-hour show on why they'll never, they won't even win 90 games. I think the answer is probably somewhere in between. But this team, I know, I get it. I know it's frustrating. And by the way, it's not like the Baltimore Orioles were knocking the balls around left and right. If Volpe doesn't kick that ball the ninth inning up the middle with something I don't think I've ever seen him do on the play that easy, then the Orioles only score one run themselves. And the first home run of the game was a leadoff batter on a I think that was a curveball that didn't really get down, or a slider. So it's like the Orioles were rocking Clark Schmidt either. Yanks are good. I think that we can overreact to these shutouts. And I'm not saying that you ignore them. I'm not saying that. And I've never...
Five times in the front.
I know.
Like, if you and I were to make a bet before the season started saying how many times this team would be shut out over the course of the year, I probably would have went under five.
Like, what was the number? Do you know off the top?
Did I
say it last night during the broadcast? I didn't
last
hear him
year?
Say it. I feel like it was, I think it was high single digits. I could be wrong on that.
Like Yankees.
No, it's weird. It's weird.
A healthy lineup with Soto being in there.
Yep.
You'd say no. Five times in the first month, it's too inconsistent. These last three games, perfect example, BT. 30 runs in two games. Zero runs the following
game. But what's the real reflection? That's interesting. And again, runs in bunches generally are not good.
Right.
But if you're good enough, and they scored six games the previous, the Friday night game that they lost. So 36 runs in three games against a pretty good Brewers team. Are the Yankees that team, or are they the team last night? I don't think they're either. I think they're right in the middle.
Right, but over the course of a postseason series, and that's what matters, they could find themselves on the short end. I want consistency, and for whatever reason, this lineup, and look, you can look to Judge, and you could say Judge is fine. We talked about this at 50 at-bats. We talked about this at 80 at-bats. It's now 113 at-bats this year. He's hitting 212.
Mm-hmm.
It's a month of a season. Aaron Judge
was hitting 180 a couple of weeks ago. I'm not saying he's fully out of it yet, but three home runs the last five, six games, nine hits. He's coming around. He was batting 175 a couple of weeks ago.
Understood, but for a guy who hits around 300 or 280 even.
That's not good enough. No, he's got to get his act in gear.
I mean, there's only 6 months of the season. He's had one awful one that he's been healthy for. This is not normal to what we've seen from Aaron Judge, and I don't trust Rizzo or Stanton. Yes, Verdugo, I like. The catching spot's been a zero. If Volpe cools off, there's no LeMahieu. The Yankees lineup right now is not... I guess the bigger point is it should be better and more consistent with the names that they had, with the way that they started the season. It has been a disappointment here after that initial red hot start.
All right, Sal, 877-337-6666. BT and Sal here on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. We'll do those Knicks later. Don't worry. Let's get to you. 877-337.
The championship Knicks.
That's right. 6666. The journey has started. We will silence my partner round by round.
Yeah.
And then we will not invite him to the parade. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Yep. Offense was frustrating last night. There's been too many nights where they've done nothing. I think they'll be fine. There's some reason for concern. don't overreact. I mean, the Yankees, they got enough sticks, I think. And you got to incorporate Dominguez coming back, which you obviously
will.
That could
be a big difference.
That's going to be a massive difference. I'm not counting on Spencer Jones this year, but obviously Dominguez can change things up. Matty in West Islip with BT and Sal. Matt, what's going on, Matt?
What's up, fellas? Just want to talk Yanks, but absolutely, let's go, Nick.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Stand up, Matty.
Yeah, I was totally psyched. We're due, long overdue for this. But on to the Yanks, man. I want to not overreact. You know, I understand, you know, black and white. We're scoring tons of runs and then no runs. But that happens over the course of a season. 162 games, man. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they get shut out five times. It's the first month. It's not just the course of the season.
Right. You just answered your own question. It's the first month. A lot of things happen. We're getting like really caught up on this five shutout number. I mean, what is that?
Well, but Matty, listen, hold on, Matt.
Matt,
hold one sec. I'm going to let you finish here. You can't obscure the fact. Let's at least be fair. Like, I think the Yankees offense will be fine. I don't love it, but you can't gloss over five shutouts. It's not even made yet.
I'm not really glossing over it. But what does it indicate?
I don't know. What do you think it indicates?
That they're bipolar at times, and they're going to find their groove. They'll be more consistent. That over the course of the season, what team has a consistent, 70% winning percentage?
Nobody, Matt. It's not about the sheer volume of wins. Thanks for the call, bud. Sal, correct me if I'm wrong. Nobody's talking about the Yankees' record.
No.
It's how they've gotten there and... You know, the bumps in the road, I'm going to give you this. The bumps in the road are alarming. The ones that, surface, every week or so, roughly, five shutouts is, you can't ignore five shutouts in late April. You can't do that.
The inconsistency is maddening. The Yankees have a lineup that is built to rock. They are built to go out there and win a World Series. And yet we watch it night in, night out. And certain nights it looks like this team could beat anybody. Look at this team. They're clicking on all cylinders. And by the way, I don't expect 15 runs, obviously, in back-to-back games or, the amount of output that they had in Milwaukee. That was an aberration, of course, but it shows you their potential. Can you meet somewhere in the middle? I mean, think about this. You think the Yankees lineup is better than the Mets?
Right now, yeah.
How come the Mets, they've only been shut out two times. Is that correct? I mean,
I'm not sure of the number.
Yeah, two times the entire year. The Mets, who were almost no hit out of the gate, 0-5 to start, looked like they couldn't buy a hit.
Mm-hmm.
They've been shut out twice, I believe. We had Hoff look that up. Twice the entire season.
Okay.
And the Yankees yet five. It just doesn't add up. Like, there's got to be some level of consistency, especially if Soto or Judge weren't playing. All right, it happens. Soto and Judge healthy in the same lineup, shut out five times? How?
Well, the shutouts are one aspect. And, by the way, when the Mets score 36 runs in three games, I'll be impressed. Like,
but the
high-end capability of the Yankees, I don't think anybody's going to debate that it certainly soars past the Mets.
But that doesn't mean anything, and it's a great point that you bring up. You're right. The Mets can't do that, right?
Yep.
They can't.
Well, they haven't done it yet.
No, but they don't even have the ability to do what the Yankees did in that three-game series.
No.
But yet, they also haven't been shut out as much as the Yankees
have. But they've come close, Sal. I mean, they've had, going back to the West Coast trip, they had zero runs, one run. I mean, I get it. Like, we can fixate on the literal number zero. That doesn't matter as much to me. I just need some more consistency. And listen, talk about, I use the word obscure. We can obscure the main point right here. If Aaron Judge doesn't consistently get his act together, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many radio segments we do about what the Yankees might be, what they could be, what they should be, with, Volpe doing this and Torres waking up and Dominguez coming back and maybe Spencer Jones. If Aaron Judge, an absolute undeniable, flat-out, grade-A, superstar, dynamic stud does not have an Aaron Judge season, then the Yankees won't be what they're fully capable of.
But don't you think that's a problem? Because we thought the addition of Soto would change that. And forget about even in the offseason.
Well, it has, because think about this. If Soto wasn't here, the Yankees might be 8-13.
Right, but
he has changed it.
Understood, but we thought in the beginning, look at what they're doing with Juan Soto, even with Judge doing nothing. And here we are a month later and Judge is still doing nothing.
Yep.
And now you're just saying, and I agree with you, if Judge doesn't get going, they're in trouble here. Not just for the Yankees will make the playoffs.
Yeah, you're talking about big picture. Yeah, no, I got you. I don't disagree with that part.
I don't know about the division. We'll find out. So far, the barometer series, as I'm calling it here in Baltimore, the O's have the first one. Now, the Yankees can win the next three. We'll find out. And it's early season. It doesn't really mean that much. But, the Yankees, these are important games against a good team. This is a good early season measuring stick. And in the first game against Baltimore, in a ballpark that the Yankees usually produce runs in, they get shut out in the first game. It just shows the inconsistency of this team. And yes, I have concerns not about August or June or September, about October. Now, where I watched this team the first week of the season, I thought, man, get them to the playoffs.
Because they look different. Their at-bats were more of the grind variety.
So how did that change so quickly?
I don't know. Sal, I wish I had the answer for you. I'm not saying I like what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. But I do think, I want to get back to that Soto point. We'll get back to these calls here, obviously. BT and Sal on the fan. The thing about Soto, the great part about his addition, well, there's two aspects. Number one, when Judge and Soto, really Soto and Judge based on the batting order, when they're flowing together, the Yankees are going to be almost an unstoppable, like when they are both in the zone, and there'll be a few times this year where they are both in the zone simultaneously, the Yankees are going to destroy every pitching staff. Okay, now that might only be for a two-week blip here or two-week blip there, but it's going to happen a couple of times. But to me, the more beneficial aspect of having Soto is that when Judge is down, or God forbid, really the bigger fear, if Judge is hurt, then Soto is able to do what last year's Yankees couldn't do when Judge went down and when he ran into the wall in Dodger Stadium, because they had nothing else around them. And on a lower level, you know, Verdugo, some of the other additions, and hopefully the return of Dominguez. But I really believe that without Juan Soto, instead of being 19-11, you could make a case the Yankees are 11-19.
Right.
So I'm hanging on the fact that Judge will go back to being Judge. And if he's not that guy, then we have problems. Let me get Bill in Palm Beach County, BT and Sal. Billy, what's happening?
Yeah, good morning, boys. I hope you can hear me on my speaker. I'll take it off if you want.
Billy, we got you. Fire away, kid. You're good.
Okay. All right, three quick points. First, number one, about these Yankees. What's different this year than it has been for the last 3 years? One, I'll let you talk. Second, on Friday night, Stanton comes up and gets a nice double to the gap, and he's on second base. And the Yankees go up by a run.
Yeah.
They got to take him out. Then they got to move a guy who never played third base. They got to put him at third base. Why? Because they don't have a guy on the bench that they could put at first base, because they took Rizzo out, so they had Cabrera at third. Every time Stanton's on the field, he's a liability.
Agreed. 1,000%. He can't run the base. He's just not a baseball player.
He took away a hit from Austin Wells last night. It's like a little league play.
Yeah, you can't.
They
got to move on from Stanton.
Let me make my point and I'll hang up.
Yeah, Bill.
One. You need two guys and him. He takes up three roster spots. The guy can't play anywhere. He can't run.
We already know this. We know that about Stanton.
He's right, BT. It's a problem.
My last point.
Go ahead quickly, Bill, please.
Yeah,
my last point.
Bill.
I'll get off.
Come on, bud.
They got 15 runs off a guy who was a journeyman pitcher who's been in the league since 2014.
Okay.
Sunday, they banged up a guy who made his third start in the major leagues. They come up against a pitcher they can pitch last night. They get shut out. J.P. Sears shut him out for 6 innings last week.
Mm-hmm.
6 innings. Okay. They can't hit anybody that can throw pitches. If you think it's any different this year than it has been for the last five, well, you know what? Maybe I should tell you guys the Brooklyn Bridge.
Well, no, but Bill, hold on.
Anyway,
thanks for the call. Bill, it is different. Now, nobody's saying that it's different enough to be perfect or the answer in October, but it is different, starting with the fact that the Yankees actually have a left fielder. I mean, you start with that. So it is different. It's different. Now,
certain individuals, I do agree Verdugo has been a nice addition to this lineup. Right? A guy who could put the bat on the ball.
Where she played last night.
Right. They need him, and they're not whole. But, I mean, you know, things happen.
I got you.
Things happen throughout the course of the year. And then, you know, let's say Verdugo comes back and somebody else gets hurt. Like, that's just a part of it, unfortunately.
True.
I'm with Bill in that it is starting to feel the same. Now, obviously, with Soto, it's a significant difference, and you could bring in Verdugo as well. Maybe Dominguez comes back. Maybe they add. I'm sure they will, and it will look different. But right now, I still have the same concerns, and I really think it comes down to me, two or three guys. Rizzo, Glaber, and Stanton. Stanton is a major problem. You saw last night. He can't do anything. He is a liability. He's going to run into some fastballs and hit some home runs. Great. The Yankees don't need that. They need a ball player. They need that spot to be more versatile and more open, especially when Dominguez comes back healthy here. You want to have Judge DH a little bit. Reconfigure that outfield. Have Grisham play a little bit in center. Keep Verdugo on left. You win more ball games like that than relying on the occasional Giancarlo Stanton closing his eyes and hitting a home run. He's on the base paths. He's a liability. He can't play a position, and he clogs up the DH spot. He is a problem.
There's a reason why I've been screaming about Stanton for years. I wish, you know, with all due respect, I wish he was gone. He is a massive issue. The roster construction is not where it needs to be. But I think the reason why I've kind of laid off of Stanton, number one, he's still here, so I can scream all day until they buy him out or whatever. It's not going to change anything because everybody knows what Sal just said. Everybody knows that. I mean, he's on first base, ball in the gap, can't score. On second base, base hit hard, hit to the outfield, can't score. And now it's gotten to the point where when he's on first base and a poor catcher who's hit six balls with over 95 mile per hour exit velo that have all been caught, none of those six balls have gone for hits. Austin Wells is actually hitting some bad luck. Now we're at the point where he hits a rocket off the first baseman's mitt, and like nine-year-old kids, he gets thrown out at second base, Stanton, because he can't move. I understand. But I don't go nuts over him because I don't think that they will rely on him as much as they did when it's all said and done. And if Dominguez comes back and Dominguez ain't it, if those eight games a year ago were a flash in the pan and he's a stiff, which I don't believe at all, well, then they're all going to rely on Giancarlo Stanton more. But I think that the Yankees offense you see now, which is not whole and not good enough, not consistent enough, I'm giving you that, not good enough, not consistent enough. But this is not the lineup that's going to play in October. And if it is...
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Then they're not winning a World Series yet again. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Bam Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
World 1027 back on The Fan tonight. We stick those punks back on the turnpike in a body bag, and we move on to round two. We'll get to the Knicks a little later. BT and Sal, as I said, 877-337-6666. I've got something on the Mets, Sal. I want to run this by you coming up next year. I think it's interesting. My eyes have been opened up to something, and it's a positive thing. I don't know that you'll find it positive. I do. But we'll do that coming up next year, and obviously juggle the Knicks. But listen, you know, the stats are, you can go find them. So it doesn't make a ton of sense. First of all, it's boring radio. I get that. But I guess two things that I've always leaned on base percentage and home runs. So the Yankees still do that. It doesn't feel like they do it consistently enough. I get it. There's an element of where they do it when they're tacking on against bad bullpens. Agreed. Watch the games. You've seen that as well. But they are second in the league in home run and third and on base. And Judge has done nothing.
Right.
So if you have the belief, while admitting that this Yankees offense is a little bit too inconsistent, a little too many holes here and there, I got you. Far from perfect. But if you think Judge is going to eventually morph back into Judge, I find it hard to believe that the Yankees offense, not say it's going to be number one, but won't be, you know, fierce enough to win.
Well, here's the thing. Even Judge, even if he's hitting 300 and hitting 55, 60 home runs, we still have questions about him in the postseason. So maybe then it's just all about Aaron Judge. The rest of the lineup, they're going to do what they need to do to get to the postseason. Like, the Yankees will back their way into the postseason just because of who they are. Like, at the minimum, they're going to be a postseason team, if not one of the top teams in the American League or winning the division, the AL East, whatever it may be. They will be a postseason team. They're just too good, okay? That, even if things go wrong, they're going to be a postseason team. So then it's about how they're going to succeed in the playoffs. And for a team that's already been shut out five times in the first month of the season, for a team that is loaded with big-name star power in their lineup, in the regular season to have that happen, to me, is a big red flag. And then for a player like Aaron Judge, who generally dominates the regular season and then doesn't carry over that dominance in the postseason, and that is in part why the Yankees fail in the postseason to get to or win a World Series, I still have concerns about that. And ultimately, BT, they're not going to go away until we get there to the postseason, but they're only going to get greater if Judge does not produce to the level we expect him to produce in the regular season.
You know, yeah, the transition from regular season in baseball to the postseason in baseball, there's nothing like it in any other sport. I mean, I think I said this to you one other time or a few other times along the years. I think it really matters. Like, take LeBron. All right, LeBron's done. Take LeBron at his absolute apex, soaring Superman powers. Let's go back 8-9 years ago when he's at the top, of completely at the top, right? Did LeBron James, even now, but did LeBron ever go from 30 points a game in the regular season to 13.9? No.
Right.
There's not that precipitous drop because that's not the way the NBA works. Same with football. It's a little different in football, but for the most part, the same. Baseball, Willie Mays has a sub-600 OPS in the postseason. Ted Williams did nothing. We know what happened locally here when Dave Winfield got his big contract. Mr. May, he hit like a .110 in the World Series. Steinbrenner blasted him. Barry Bonds took forever to get going. A-Rod was crushed until he came through in 2009. A couple of big home runs before that, but really punctuated in 2009. So I hear you. I don't get overly wrapped up in that. Because my thought process is when you take a great player, and Aaron Judge is undeniably and has been undeniably great, when you put him in those prominent spots enough, eventually you're gonna be who you are. And if you're not, well, then that's a deeper, different conversation at the end of your career. But October, you know, you keep rolling him out there. I think that that Judge will mash. But until he does, he's gonna hear the questions. Jerry's up in the Bronx, BT and Sal. Jerry, what's going on? Jerry.
What's happening, BT?
Hey, Jerry, what's going on, bud?
Jerry!
What's happening, buddy?
How are you, Jerry?
Pretty good. Hey, listen, the only consistent thing we see right now with this Yankee lineup from top to bottom is inconsistency, Sal. That's exactly what it is. The reason is they're mistake hitters. When the playoffs start and you come across pitchers that are a lot more dominant than what you see in the regular season, if you make your pitches, and that could go with any hitter, but if you make your pitches, nobody in that lineup is scaring me. And this thing that they're doing with putting Volpe batting first, at this point right now, he's not a number one hitter, okay? He's too inconsistent. His on-base percentage is terrible, and he's susceptible to the fastball inside. Now, a good hitter fouls off good pitches. A bad hitter strikes out.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the lineup, you need Verdugo to separate
Judge
and Stanton.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of that lineup.
Well, he did that. Here's the other night.
Problem.
He batted him fourth, hit a home run.
I know. But I think he did. He's taking too long. Yeah. The other thing is, when Dominguez comes back, what changes do you make in the outfield? That's a big question mark. Verdugo's probably right now our most consistent hitter. Okay,
no,
so
Soto.
What do you do when Dominguez comes back?
Jerry,
what
Soto.
I understand. Soto's in right field. He's a given in right field.
Right.
What I'm saying is, when Dominguez comes back, what changes do you make in the outfield? Exactly.
Jerry, hold on. Thanks for the call, bud. But there's a couple of different scenarios. Number one, does Dominguez come back right away and remind everybody what he flashed was maybe real those eight games? If that's the case, well. And then at that point, the answer would be, I would say, I do like Verdugo in left field. I would say Dominguez in center. I would say, If you want to put the best defensive outfield out there, Dominguez in center, Judge in left, Verdugo in left, Judge in right, Soto DH. That's the best. Now, that might not satisfy Juan Soto, and that's something else you got to play. Otherwise, he's going to leave.
Either way, it's Judge or Soto as DH.
Yes.
Unless you're moving Judge to first base now.
No. No, well, but those are the two DH options.
That is going to happen eventually.
Yeah, but I'm saying this season it's not going to happen. Okay, so it's Soto or Judge is the DH, and I think it's going to be Soto. Unless Soto says, I don't want to do it, you got to placate him on some level. You have to.
That could be a whole... I know, but
don't
that could
you
be
have
whole,
to? I mean, think about that. If Boris calls up, if Boris calls up the Yanks and says,
"Listen, if
you keep DH'ing him, he's not coming. He's got no chance to sign him. You got to play him."
And what if Judge says, "I'm not DH'ing, I'm playing the outfield"?
You know what you say? Too bad. You signed a 9-year deal. You go where we tell you to play.
You're going
to
tell Judge?
Well, he's under contract. What's he going to do? Not play?
He's going to be upset. He's the captain.
Oh, he's upset.
And by the way,
Judge is a great teammate. He'll roll with the punches.
By the way, he's better, so it's better for the team. Yeah. So you're going to worry about Juan Soto's precious ego. By the way, why is Juan Soto above reproach? Like, we can't.
In what regard?
In every regard. You say something bad about Juan Soto, it's like, oh, like Soto's the greatest thing ever, and you can't criticize Juan Soto. I mean, give me a break.
But what do you mean, though?
He's not as good defensively.
This year he's actually been a very good defender.
He's not as good defensively as Judge.
No, that's for
sure.
If
you have to tell Juan Soto to DH, that's the breaks.
Then the breaks are, and then Juan Soto might say, fine.
Okay.
We'll have a new team next year. I know that it sounds crazy to placate. I get it. But it's going to be part of the process for the Yankees. They've got to make sure that this guy's in a good place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's leaving.
Then you're not worried about winning. If I'm the Yankees, and by the way, if I'm Soto, I'd have more respect. Now, I don't know what Soto's going to have. I would have more respect for the Yankees if they said, you know what? I don't care what your status is. You're not as good as this guy, so you're sitting. But what they would do in that case anyway is put Judge in left, and then your boy Verdugo would be out.
And I don't like that because he's a contact guy. He's a pretty decent base runner. He's a doubles guy. He's an energy guy. I want Verdugo out there.
Good problem to have. We talked about this in the offseason, but eventually that's what we're looking at, assuming health.
And it might not be an issue if Dominguez doesn't come back and rake. This was all predicated on Dominguez obviously coming back. Teddy's up in Yonkers. Teddy, what's going on, buddy? BT and Sal.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Hello, Ted.
I can't think of anything else than what you have said. You've taken all of my words. All I know is they're a high-salaried ball club. Judge gets paid $40-plus million a year. Soto is going to be getting a $500 million contract like Sal said, and we're consistently inconsistent. The pitching has been decent. The pitching has been better than decent.
Yes, it has been.
And we've been shut out 5 times already.
Yeah.
5 times. The Mets have been shut out twice.
Right.
Now, I agree with you on many things, and you're a loud guy. You're sometimes a little nuts, but you make good points. But I'd like for you to criticize your Mets.
Well, the Mets aren't
about the Mets.
They're not
right
on the Yankees level. We'll talk about the Mets. BT wanted to bring up something coming up next segment, so we will.
Yep.
What do you want to say? I mean, the Mets, right now, to me, the Mets aren't relevant. We got the Knicks on fire. We got the Rangers about to start round two.
We got the NFL draft that we just wrapped up.
We got the Yankees in Baltimore. You know, the Yankees Orioles, a big series. Like, the Mets, they're not on the radar just yet. We will talk about them next, but they don't register.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Right now. What's there to say? They're a 500 team at best. I mean, that's what it's.
But I got something for you that I think you're going to like. And I think Met fans will like this. I want to sprinkle this in coming up next. BT and Sal, 877-337-6666.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. First caller to correctly identify last night's Turning Point of the Game down in Baltimore. Give us a buzz, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you receive two pairs of tickets to a future 2024 Yankees regular season game. And it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. All right, 1042 on The Fan. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show, 877-337-6666. Top of the hour, we work in those Knicks. Oh, yeah, big night. Big night tonight.
I got a
big night, Sal.
I got, and you and I, you know, we have some issues.
I don't have any issues.
Well,
you
know
have issues with the Knicks.
Well, no, I don't have issues with the Knicks. I have issues with people talking about the Knicks as championship. And then I read something from Ian Begley at SNY.TV. I don't know if it was a tweet or a column that he had up.
Generally good work puts out.
Started to compare. He said, like, I'm not going to compare what Brunson did in game four to what Willis Reed did.
Oh!
But basically saying that there is a chance the Knicks could be playing on the same stage Willis Reed did.
Invoking the old captain.
Come on.
Begley listens to the show and he's stealing my stuff and he's writing about it. That's what happened. All right, so we'll get to the Knicks coming up next at right around 11 or so. Get back to the Yankees calls. I mean, this Yankees offense looks a lot like last year's. I'm less concerned than Sal, but I get the concerns, honestly. Five shutouts is disgraceful.
I mean, the White Sox.
Made first
just,
yet.
Yeah, just for reference, the White Sox
what,
lead
eight,
the big.
9, 10,
yeah,
what are they got? Eight.
The White Sox, for reference, they have six wins.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? Six? Yo,
they're awful, dude.
Six wins on the year. They've been shut out eight times. The Yankees, who have 19 wins, have been shut out five times.
Okay, do me one more thing before this Mets thing that
think
I hit you with.
Think about this too, BT. They've only had 11 losses on the year. Five of them have been shut out.
Yeah, that is crazy. All right, so now give me the runs scored for the Yankees and the runs scored for the White Sox.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that solves everything, but it's
148 to 79.
Okay, so let's not get it completely twisted.
Oh, understood, but you're going in bunches. Like, obviously, I'm not trying to compare the Yankees to the White Sox, but the fact that the Yankees, who are a good team, one of the best teams, have been shut out almost as much as one of the worst teams that we've ever seen.
Yeah, they're bad. Now, listen, five shutouts is it's not even May. It's not even Kentucky Derby yet. Can't have it. Not with that payroll, not with the expectations. I'm not gonna fight you. I'll fight you on a lot. I'm not fighting you on that. Five is ridiculous. All right. I think you'll like this. I think. So, you know, last night aside, first of all, Joey Wendell, what are you doing?
Oh, God.
I mean, dude, I mean, if that ball's not hit like a rocket, you must come home. That is a horrendous read.
By the way, even if it is hit like a rocket, like, just nail the guy at home. That's it. He's running home. Look at him. I get the appeal of trying to turn two. First of all, you got to know who the runner is.
And he was fast.
Yeah, and he didn't know that, clearly.
Yep.
And then it was a broken bat,
yep.
soft grounder to third. He doesn't even look at the runner going home. Like,
I know.
And the thing that infuriates me about it, and I'm not trying to pick on Joey Wendell. Like, I'm not saying cut him. But I am going to say is his job on this team is a defensive guy. If Vientos makes that play, we say, oh, this is why Vientos shouldn't be out there. He can't play defense. Wendell's job is to be a defensive replacement and a defensive guy first. He's got his head up his ass. You can't do that. You cost him the game. Get the runner at home. Come on, you taught that since Little League.
I was even trying to maybe give him a little benefit of the doubt because the bat shattered. Yeah. And when the bat shattered, both the runner and Wendell kind of froze for a second. But that ball was not hit hard enough. I would push back and say if it was hit on the screws, you spin it, you get two because you have it. When you have a chance to get out of it, you go for it. But you got to get it. But he didn't know the runner speed. I agree. That the way the ball was hit, you got to go home at that point. So Wendell messed up, almost a no-hitter. Instead, it winds up with a loss.
Yeah, brutal.
And the way Diaz gets touched up, which might happen once or twice the rest of the year. So not a good night for the Mets. I get that. But here's some optimistic stuff for the Mets. Maybe. So the Mets, in the last eight games, have scored 23 runs, which obviously stinks. One of those games, they scored eight. So eight out of 23, which is just about 30%. I mean, it was in one game. So that, they had zero, they had two, they had one, they had two, they had four, they had one, they had four. They're not scoring much. Now, I thought the Mets would hit more. I thought their pitching would be atrocious.
Right.
I said that. I thought it would be among the worst staffs in baseball. I'm going to own up. Thus far, I'm going to take the L. Because although I did say that Severino would be really good this year, I told you that. And Severino has been phenomenal with an ERA 2.5, less than 2.5. So between Sevy, between Quintana, who's always been a pro, Manaea, who both have sub 3.5 ERAs, and Senga making his way back. While I don't think the Mets are a playoff team, I don't think they are. I'm not changing that. But if there is a path to the playoffs for these Mets, is it possible that it's on the mound and not with the sticks? Like, the pitching's a lot better than we thought.
Probably has to be. I don't think the Mets are a playoff team. I think they're – look, they – see, still to me, for them to be a playoff team, they're going to have to get their guys going offensively. I don't know if that's going to happen, which is why I lean with you saying that, yeah, maybe the pitching is going to have to carry them to the postseason because the other guys are not getting it. Like, Lindor's come up in big spots endless times. I'm waiting for him to break through. He hasn't. Showing little signs here or there. It just hasn't happened. And he's killing them.
Yep.
Every time he's up, there are guys on, and he's killing them. Alonso, McNeil, those guys have not gotten the job done. So I don't believe in the offense. It was my main reason for saying they weren't going to be a playoff team. But the pitching is doing far better than I ever thought that they could do. I did not expect this from Severino. I mean, last night he looked as good as he's ever looked.
Yeah.
And he's been very good this year. You're right. They get Senga back. I don't think ultimately, though, the pitching. I think Quintana's solid. But I don't think the pitching is going to hold up enough to overcome the lack of consistent offense.
Well, that's the thing. If the offense gets going, Nimmo with the home run, but he's been atrocious. Lindor's been Lindor. So far, we've chronicled him a million different ways, just simply not good enough yet. Pete's honestly run into a ton of bombs, but the average, I think it's down to about 240. McNeil,
it's done nothing.
Nothing. Alvarez out for a couple of months, which is a big problem. Beatty, good start, cooled down a bit, though I still like him. The bottom line is this. If the Mets offense was a little bit better, then, and maybe it gets there, then it can supplement, because I do agree, like Quintana and Manaea have been good so far, have been reliable so far, but they don't have swing and miss lights out stuff. So they're going to get touched up a little bit, and if they don't have an offense to kind of hold their hand here and there, then the Mets just won't win enough games to become a playoff team. But Sal, I don't.
And Nimmo's hitting 206. He's another
he's been,
one.
Nimmo's been
he
bad.
Had the leadoff homer last night, and then that was it. Nimmo hitting 206. I mean, Alonso, whatever. But even
what is he
like,
down to 240? Yeah, 242?
He's 240, but even Pete, it just feels like, and I know he's hit some homers, but it doesn't, it's weird to say, like, the homers haven't been impactful, and I'm not saying every one of them, but he's not having
as impactful
a season
he's not.
As you need to have. Now, J.D. Martinez just got here. Maybe he starts to get going a little bit. McNeil's hitting 245,
jeez.
Nimmo's hitting 206, and Lindor's hitting .195.
That 195 still. All right,
it's amazing that they're even, what are they, still 500? Yeah, they're 500 team.
Exactly 500. There's been a couple of flickers, very few, with Lindor. You're like, all right, maybe the fire's about to light up, and it just dissipates. Next two, three games, five strikeouts, 10 guys left on base. Lindor just not getting the job done. And I don't know that he's going to. Like, I know that they're not going to Then obviously you can't bench him. That's clear. And I wouldn't do that either.
No, you could move him down in the order, though.
That's where I was going to go. Against lefties, I have no problem with Lindor being my three hitter. If you keep running him out there against righties, which is almost every night as your three hitter, when he's just, he's lefty.
I don't know
what they're doing.
I'll give him one more week.
Another week, and then what do we
do? Because he's usually a slow starter.
Him?
Yeah, you have to. Absolutely.
You have to.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I would consider it. We talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. Like, I would have already considered it. I'll give him one more week. He's shown some signs. He looks a little bit better, even though the results are not adding up to that wholly yet. He's been, you know, first month of the season, about to wrap up here. Give him another week. If he does not get it going first week of May, you have to drop him in the order. It's killing the team. I mean, what do you want to do? Wait till June until too late again? Can't do it. They're lucky that they're at 500. But the pitching's carried them, and they are overusing the bullpen. Bullpen's been great. I will say, though, BT, maybe the most important thing to come in this season is that it's way early, but the results of David Stearns, you have to love every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I said to Sal yesterday that, like, the resolve and the spirit is beginning to shine through with the manager. Like, they didn't have that last year with Buck. They had it the year before with Buck when they won 101 games. Last year, whatever, for a million reasons, it went emotionally sideways and in large parts physically sideways as well. This Mets team, and I'll give you a good example, like the way they started the West Coast trip, win, Dodgers. All right, you lose the, you don't sweep them. So you're 2-1, and then you lose. You're staring at 2-4 after a 2-0 start, and they scratch out a win. Same with the last series, like against the Cardinals. Yeah. Like, I know you want more than 1 out of 3 at home, but it's those wins that keep you in the mix. And, you know, I don't think they're very good. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they're showing. I like what I'm seeing from Mendoza in terms of him having an imprint on the team so far.
He's a good manager. I would even go as far as say he's better than Aaron Boone. Now, the results are not going to be there because Boone's got a loaded team.
I can't even tell that. Who the heck knows better than Boone? I mean, here's why I would say it.
Did you see what happened on Sunday with Quintana? So Quintana was out there for the eighth inning,
mm-hmm.
and Mendoza went out to get him with two outs into the eighth, and Quintana talked his way into staying.
Which I love.
Yeah. Now, Mendoza, despite saying, he even admitted, he's like, I didn't love the matchup, I'll be honest with you, but I trusted my guy. He was throwing a hell of a game right there. I trusted my guy. Leaves him in, he gets the out. Now, to me, the results are insignificant there. It's great that it worked in favor, but it was the thought that Mendoza could leave him in based on his gut mm-hmm. without. Now, remember, this is a first-year big league manager here. First-year big league manager in New York. He leaves him in against what the numbers would say without fear of what's going to happen from the front office, the repercussions.
Yep.
And then Andy Martino, I had him on Baseball Night in New York yesterday. You know, he writes, obviously covers the Mets and Yankees for SNY.TV, and we're going to have him in studio coming up next month as well. But Andy reported on that and got the thoughts from Stearns on that, was saying, like, because, you know, you think initially, ooh, going to be in trouble with the front office guys if you're bucking the mm-hmm. analytics. Stearns likes it. And to a point where Mendoza and people around him, based on some decisions he's made early this season already, have been waiting for Stearns or others from the front office to ask them and comment, and they haven't.
They're laying out.
That's
good.
That, to me, is important. And it's twofold. One, that the front office is giving them the information, but letting him be a freaking manager. And two, that a first-time big league manager has the sack mm-hmm. to make those decisions against what the numbers might say.
I like it. And listen, yeah, it benefits Quintana a little bit here, but you know what's going to really benefit the young horses who are in the minors now as they ascend and get there? And Mendoza, if he continues to empower, you know, and you can't do it every time. Sometimes you just got to rip the ball out of somebody's hand because you see something that the competitor in the moment can't wrap his emotional side around as a competitor, which we all respect. We've all been there. Well, I mean, not on a major league mound, but in some walk of life where our view is skewed because mm-hmm. of our personal investment in the situation. I love that. I do love that. I love it. I think that this team...
He didn't learn that from Boone.
Yeah, well, he learned it from somebody. He was at the Yankees for 15 years, so somewhere along the way picked up something with the Yankees.
I'd like to see Boone do that himself.
Yeah, well, I mean, Schmidt was chirping last night.
Yeah.
Clark Schmidt was chirping last night. You know, before we get this, and you're talking about Alonso, and we were talking about the Yankees offense before. The two guys, now we went through this with Judge. Soto, obviously, is a different beast here. Gleyber, in a contract year so far, has been an F.
Right.
And Alonso in a contract year so far, what do you give Pete? C+, maybe a B-, maybe?
I don't. Again, maybe if I'm not feeling the impact, and I thought he was going to have a 50 home run. I thought Pete was going to have next level major impact type season.
And he's still going to flirt with 50, I think. But where's the average? We talked about this winter.
But he's what, a career 250 guy, so the average is fine. He was hitting 212 last year.
I think his career 262. Last year dropped out of 220 something. I think he's 260 for his career.
Last year I thought he hit like 212 or
whatever. No, that was Volpe at 209.
Okay.
A lot of New York batters were flirting with some ugly digits.
I thought Pete was a career 250. I got pulled.
I thought it was 260. Right, that could be all. What do you have? Do you have in front of you?
Pete career
250. Yeah, I got
it. Is that it? Wait, 250?
Well, yeah, and he hit 217 last year.
Was it 270? Yeah. But what's his career average? 250 on the button?
250 on the button.
Really?
260, 231, 262, 271, 217, 241 right now.
Okay, so if he's not going to hit 217 again, and if he does, oof.
No, so no, that's he's why not. You take 241.
But if he hits 233 or 235, like, that hurts his contract.
Here's the problem.
That's two bad years.
Here's the problem.
Average-wise.
And this is why it's not impactful, just watching it or having a feel for it.
Yeah.
He's got 8 homers.
Yeah, right?
8
no
homers
doubt.
In the first month, which is big.
And a couple mattered.
He got 14 ribbies.
Oof. Well, that's not his fault. That's Lindor's fault. And Nimmo's fault. Get on base.
Well, also it could be he's not.
The two guys in front of him are hitting 200.
Yeah, but also, and maybe you could further break down the numbers, but also when guys are on base, he's not hitting the homers.
I never thought Pete was clutch. Met fans, you hate when
saying,
I say
I'm
that.
Just saying.
I've never thought he was very clutch.
8 homers, 14 ribbies.
Yeah,
that's not
weird.
Add up.
That's almost like Kevin Moss territory
doesn't
back in the day.
You, who's my boy, Spencer Jones Moss.
Can I just defend Pete Alonso?
Go for it.
I have to.
Go for it.
They put up a video after his 200th home run and just watch all. They put up a collective of every single home run.
He's hit big home runs.
He's hit big home runs in big spots. If you go to the first season, most of those are coming close to tying games.
Right, but it's not 5 years ago, Hop.
Yeah. I understand. But I'm just saying. It's to say that Pete Alonso doesn't hit clutch home runs, I can go through a season every single year where he hits big shots. But a lot of guys don't hit big clutch home
listen,
runs.
Listen, A-Rod was renowned for tacking on. Right. Yeah, Yankees are up 11-2. That was a 3-run bomb by A-Rod. No, listen. I think if you go through every great player, you're going to have moments where they pad the stats for sure. You have 200 home runs. You're hitting some clutch home
runs. He's hit big
home runs. But I'm going off literal high leverage statistics that I have looked at. And I'm not talking about just home runs. Average, OPS, Pete's deficient there.
I never felt like Pete or Lindor weren't clutch. However, I've seen now a lot of times in big spots, even early in the season, they're not, Lindor's been awful with it. And I think it does speak volumes that Pete has 8 homers with 14 freaking ribbies.
Right? Here's the bottom line. We'll get to these Knicks coming up as well. Incorporate them. We'll get to your Yanks and Met calls, 877-337-6666. Yeah, there's been some good things so far in April for these baseball teams. But as we move toward May, a lot of problems as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.